So how many of you have been kind of, you know, more or less trying to keep up a little bit with the daily readings? You kind of pull it out, everything. Here's what I want to do, and I'm going to give you tonight sort of a light start, but next week and then the week after and so on and so forth until we're done with the series, I'm going to give you opportunity to do this. Oh, that reminds me. Next Wednesday night, we're not down here. We're upstairs because the second through fourth grader girls are going to be down here doing the girls' Devo. Ladies, as much as I'd love to see you next Wednesday, please stick around down here. Encourage our young women. This is just a big night for them. But for us dudes, we'll be upstairs hanging out, and we'll kind of go from there. But here's what I'd like for you to ask you to do. If you haven't been reading through this, you know, if you're not in a regular Bible study, join us where we are. It'd be good, okay? But here's what I want to ask you. From this week, last week, week before, any of the readings, what has sort of stood out to you from our series? Maybe from your own Bible reading? Maybe it's something you and a friend have talked about. It may have been even on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, something. But what has been something that has sort of stayed with you, at least till tonight, from our series? And let's kind of encourage one another, and then we'll get into the text this evening. But what stood out to you? Lot about the tongue. Did you know James talks more about the tongue than any other New Testament writer? It's almost like he knew that human nature is to let the mouth run. Anyone else kind of wish that he didn't talk so much about the tongue? Yeah, what else? Ooh, yeah. Yeah, what goes in comes out. It's huge, isn't it? What else this week or weeks before stood out to you? Maybe it's a verse, maybe it's an idea. What else?
The faith that has no deeds.
I'm sorry?
Faith that has no deeds.
Yeah. So the passage you're looking at right there is chapter 2, right? James just basically lays it out. In fact, this is the summary statement for the entire book of James. If you want to write this down or just kind of remember it, we said this Sunday, and every time we get together until we're done with this, I'm going to say this because this is so important. Here's the summary statement for James. Genuine faith leads to good deeds. Genuine faith leads to good deeds. In other words, whatever your root, that's your fruit. And so he's just laying it out. He's saying, hey, here's what it looks like if you have genuine faith. So that's huge, yeah. All right, anything else? Oh, man, yeah, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That's good. All right, tonight we're going to get into what I think may be one of, it's a small section, but it's chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And I want to begin with this question as we kind of get into this passage. Just raise your hand if you don't mind. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Raise your hand if you have ever done something in your life that might be in the category of stupid. Just raise your hand. If Lance's hand went way up real fast there, and mine would as well. Go ahead and hold it up. Go ahead and look around. And here's what you can see. You can see who you're dealing with here tonight, as well as who the honest people are. And so you've got that. But can we just be honest that we've all done some things in life that are kind of stupid? Now, sometimes the decisions we make, you know, bud, that, you know, the stupid tax is really little, like, oh, you just kind of get embarrassed for something you do, and then other times you go, oh, no, and it has real deep consequences. But everything we do has consequences. Everything we do, it you deal with it, don't you? Sort of like this story, and maybe you've heard the story of the guy who died, went to heaven, and he's coming to the pearly gates. Now, okay, this is just a story, but okay, pearly gates, that's in the Bible, right? Heaven, pearly, okay. And as he comes up to the pearly gates, there is St. Peter. Now, again, this is a story. There's nothing in the Bible that says St. Peter's there taking role, okay? But it's a story. He shows up, he sees St. Peter, and he goes, well, hi. And St. Peter goes, well, hi, welcome. And he goes, hey, listen, as you're kind of, before you come in, just need to know, have you ever done anything in your life that was impressive? Because I kind of need to know what kind of guy you are before you come in. And so the man thought for a moment. He goes, well, yeah. Actually, there's this one time I was walking along. And as I was walking along, I look over and there's this young lady. And there's this huge group of guys, I mean, mean, bad-looking dudes who are harassing her. And as I sort of watched what was happening, they circled around her, and I got nervous for her. And so I thought, if I don't do something, something's going to happen to this girl. So he said, you know, I stepped in. And St. Peter said, well, really, what'd you do? He says, well, I found the biggest, the meanest, the most tatted up guy I could find. I kicked over his bike. I pushed him in the chest. I reached up to that big hairy nose ring and I yanked it out of his face. And I looked at him and I said, if you don't quit messing with her, you're going to have to deal with me. St. Peter goes, wow, I don't know if I would have had it in me to do that. He said, well, how long ago was that that you did this? And the guy thought and goes, oh, well, about 10 minutes ago. Some of you are going to get that a little later, you know, okay. But here's the deal. Everything we do has a consequence to it. Sometimes really good, sometimes not so good. And here's what James, here's sort of just so you know where we're going. James is going to lay out for us, he's going to say, listen, some of you are kind of shocked by the fruit of your life. You don't know why certain things are happening on repeat in your world. He said, you need to be more observant to the what you're doing, and you won't be so surprised with the results. Case in point. All right. When we first moved to Nashville, Lindsay wanted a tomato garden. We just some place to plant tomatoes. And we were talking to Wayne Russell about our desire for a tomato garden. By the way, Wayne Russell is one of the biggest servants that you will ever hope to meet. We talked to him about this sort of in passing. No big deal. Don't think anything of it. Until he shows up one day with, I guess it was 2x4s. And he begins to put a little box together in our backyard. He tills the ground. He adds additional soil, I think fertilizer. I'm not sure. I don't have a green thumb. He gets it all set. He puts the little stakes, the little cone-shaped things in that kind of come up. And he even puts the tomato plants in. He gets it all done. All we have to do is go out there, water it periodically, and take tomatoes. We still killed it, mind you. But that's all we had to do. Here's the point, though. We went out there, and we pulled. After it grew up, we pulled tomatoes. Now, how many of us would go out there and go, oh, I can't believe it. We have tomatoes on our tomato plants. Can you believe it? It's not cucumbers. It's not bell peppers. It's tomatoes. And here's what James, I think, would tell us. He'd say, listen, you don't need to be so shocked by the results of your life. You just need to be more intentional and aware of what's going on under the surface, because what is planted, that's what's going to come up in your life 100% of the time. And he's going to say, listen, every decision you make, every decision is built out of the operating system of your, and here's the word that we're going to look at, wisdom. So here we go. Let's look at this passage together. This is James 3, beginning in 13, going through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? And notice what he's going to say here. Let him show it by his good life, by deeds. Remember, genuine faith leads to good deeds. By deeds done in the humility that comes from, and let's all say that word together, wisdom. He's going to say, listen, you see things coming out of someone's life. You see some good stuff. It's going to be because of the wisdom that planted it. You plant wisdom, you're going to get good things. You don't plant wisdom, you're going to get bad things. This is just the way it is. He says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Now, here's what he's saying. Because I want to show you, he's going to break this down for us. But before we get there, here's what you need to know. He gives us two things. He says, listen. Have you ever noticed that there's some people who boast about their stupidity? Have you seen this? Let's put it this way. Have you ever been around college guys? So you'll see some college dude, and one guy will come up to another guy, and it almost always starts with something like, hey, I dare you to blank. And then they boast about the dumb thing they did. You know, so for instance, in college, Lipscomb, I was on the third floor of Sewell Hall. How many of you have been to Lipscomb and you've been to Sewell Hall? Third floor. We're up there. And some of the guys, I'm out. I'm in my room. I'm studying one night. And I hear, no lie, I hear. And I go, what in the world? I open the door just as, no lie, this 255-pound sophomore who had more rolls, coming everywhere. Flying down the hall, they had laid out a giant plastic tarp, baby oil, and soap, and they were slip sliding down the entire hallway and hitting the far end. This boy, when he hit, the whole place jiggled. I mean, it was impressive. It looked like so much fun until one guy did not know they were doing this, stepped out of his room into the hallway as another guy comes, hits them in the leg. His legs go up. His head goes straight down. You know what's under this carpet?
Concrete.
Same there. Everyone, I mean, it's like you could hear the music go. Quickly, they get him. They bag him up practically. They're like, get rid of the body. I mean, they're taking him out. They get him to the hospital. They clean up the mess. Now, here's the deal. After that, everyone was bragging about their time. Why? He says, James says, listen, if you do something stupid, don't brag about it. Don't boast about your stupidity. But also, yeah, what you got there?
Is the guy okay?
Well,
you don't remember.
You know, after that evening going to the hospital, I don't remember much of it. No. He is great. He's great. Thanks for asking. By the way, hey, can I just
really quickly
let me poll the audience. How many of you ladies wanted to know if the guy was okay? How many of you guys didn't even care if the guy was okay? Girls versus guys. There you go. I love that, though. Now, here's the deal.
How long was this tarp, and where did they buy
it? Now, here's the deal. He says, don't boast about your stupidity, but also don't pretend like it isn't there. What do we say, or what do they say in the recovery? The first step of recovery is what? Admit you got a problem. Don't pretend. If you're stupid, if you're making bad decisions, don't boast about it, but don't cover it up. Go, you know what? This is an issue. He's going to say, now, let me tell you, sometimes when we talk about wisdom, people have wonky ideas about what wisdom is. And he's going to give us this really clear, in fact, this may be the simplest message of all that we teach through this series, because he makes it so painfully clear. But he's going to say, there's two types of wisdom. There are two types. Now, before we kind of go through his two types, let's just play together for a minute here. Help me out with, how would you define wisdom? Think with me for a moment here. What words or ideas would you put, if you were to try to explain to someone what wisdom is, and there's no real wrong answer here. Let's just kind of get the juices flowing here. How would you try to define wisdom?
Experience.
Okay. Knowledge from experience.
Knowledge from experience. Okay, good. What else? A learned person? Okay, good. What else would you kind of think about when you think about wisdom? What other ideas? Okay, now that's a fruit of wisdom, right? Yeah, absolutely. Someone who doesn't just kind of blow up, that's a wise person, isn't it? Right? Okay, what else?
Atypical insight.
Atypical insight. Okay, so it's not normal. Or common, we might say, right? Yeah. We're going to get back to that actually in a minute. That's really, really good. What do you got there?
Discernment.
By the way, you can't get discernment just by reading a book, right? How many of you know brilliant people who really can't cross the street without getting hit? Okay, so it's more than just, I like that. That's good, discernment. What else? Any other ideas? So here's what James is going to do. He's going to say, okay, listen. Two types. Here we are. And he's going to clarify what they are, because these are so important for us to kind of catch here tonight. First one, he says this. He says, but if you harbor, verse 14, bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. Let me just real quickly, because I've got some friends who, when they read this, it freaks them out, because they go, man, I'm an ambitious person. You know, I want to do well in my job. I want to succeed. I want to have a better income. And they have ambition, and they read this and go, oh no, is that bad? No. Notice, bitter envy, it's the idea that what you have is what I want. I'm not satisfied with what God has given to me. Selfish ambition is the idea that what I am ambitious for is only for my benefit. That it is all about me. So is it wrong to be ambitious and want to build your business? No. Build your business for God's glory. Is it wrong to want to go up in a job and to make management and make senior management? No, that's not wrong. Is it wrong to want to make more money tomorrow than you made today? No. If the purpose of it is not all just for you. if my goal is for this next step and I want to leverage it for the good of God's people, yeah, I'll enjoy it, but let's leverage it. Then he goes, no. But when it's only going to terminate on me and my life, he says, yeah, that's what's bad. And that comes from what he's going to talk about here. Two types of wisdom. Verse 15, he says, such wisdom. Notice it's in, how many of you have yours in quotes? Now again, there were not these quotes marks in the original language, but this is the interpreters, the translators' way of trying to help us understand that James is kind of being sarcastic. You know what I mean? You know sarcasm, right? Like, smooth move, right? And you know that means, no, that was a really boneheaded decision. He's saying, such wisdom, if we want to call it that, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorders of every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So now he's played out two different types of wisdom. Here's the first one. Let's just kind of play this out. This is our ground level here. Now, this is little guy. Or, if it's a girl, it's a little girl. Whichever. Okay, you pick. James is saying there are two types of wisdom. And he's all I want you to do here, and we're just going to play out the two types, and then I'm going to give you one question to consider, and we're going to call it a night. But here's the first type of wisdom, and he puts this in quotes. The first kind, verse 15, it's earthly. Pam, is my spelling okay?
No, that looks like an H. There's an H.
Earthly.
E-A-R.
Well, okay. There. Is that better? Does that look clear? Okay. And then this is an H. And this is an L. Is that better? Okay, we got it? Okay, good. He starts off, verse 15, he's going to give us three things. It's earthly is the first one. And here's what earthly does not mean. When you think of earthly, sometimes common experience gets a bad rap in church world. Let me give you an example. Lindsay and I, every month or so, we put a little bit of money away into our retirement fund. Why? One day I want to retire. You know, when I'm 70, 80, 90, 100, whenever I can afford. I mean, I want to retire. So we're putting a little money away every month. Now, is the Bible will talk about spreading in Ecclesiastes, it talks about spreading your stuff out over many boats and across the waters. So the idea of multiplying or diversifying what you have. So yeah, there's some of that. But we do it in a particular way because the understanding from the past almost 100 years of the stock market is that you do it a certain way and over time you see certain gains. That is earthly in the sense that you're not going to find stock market tips in the Bible, right? So that's not what he's talking about here. There are some experiences that we get from culture that are valuable. What he means when he says earthly is this. Our focus is only on today, on the earth, on this moment, on what we can see, feel, taste, touch, experience now. And he says, wisdom, this kind of wisdom is wisdom that doesn't think about tomorrow. It's only worried about the moment, right now. A quick question. How many of you could finish this sentence for me? Youth is wasted on the
young.
Some of you have kids, don't you? You go, man, if I had their age again, how would I invest my time differently? Okay, there are moments right now I'm going through that I wish I had lived differently growing up. Here's one of them. Monday nights. Rebecca, every Monday night, where are we? Spanish class, right. Because we're going to Nicaragua. And we're learning all sorts of words. Now Rebecca's pretty good at this. I mean, she's very good-o and wonderful-o and awesome-o at it. I mean, she's good. Here's my problem. I took 2 years of Spanish in high school. I don't remember a blessed thing from it. Now, I did really well, and I got A's in that class. You say, Josh, how do you get A's and don't remember anything? Well, that's simple. I homeschooled.
Oh!
Shame. All right, now listen. Not because of that. It's because I studied to pass what? I didn't pay attention long enough to keep it deep inside, just long enough to get the right answers on the paper for that week's test. And if I had just, I passed a course with flying colors. You go back, I got all the answers right. I was great at it. You'd think I was excellent. No, because I was living for the day. I didn't care about tomorrow. I had more important things to do than study. I wanted to play the Super Nintendo. Excuse me, I had the Sega Genesis. I wanted to play video. I wanted to go outside and play basketball. I wanted to go do other things. Earthly wisdom says today is all that matters. Tomorrow, tomorrow will worry about itself. Jesus said that, right? He said, earthly wisdom is only worried about today. Do you guys know anyone who's only worried about today? They're called children. But when you grow up, we ought not think like children anymore. In fact, he goes on to say, when he's talking about this earthly wisdom, when you have earthly wisdom, you try to avoid pain, loss, discomfort, suffering. Why? Because if today is the only thing that matters, Pam, then I don't want suffering that, suffering today is no good, even if it gives me something good tomorrow, because today is all that matters. This is why spiritually immature people do not defer for the future. It's all about this moment. Let me ask you a question. Are any of you, and you don't have to, don't answer out loud, but how many of you are right now, you're saving for retirement? Yeah, maybe it's not a lot, but you're putting something away, right? Because you know one day either you'll die or you'll retire, and you want to be ready for at least one of those two. I mean, the reason right now I defer some gratification is that one day I'd like to be able to spend a little extra time with my sweetheart, play with grandkids, maybe great-grandkids, depending on how quick they get going, right? Not in high school, marriage, then kids, okay? But, right? Okay. Now, here's the thing. Let me ask you a quick question. I'm banking today on tomorrow. How many of us know that we are not temporal beings? We are eternal beings. You have been given a soul handcrafted by Almighty God that will not have an expiration date. So I don't really care where you're going to be in 30 or 40 or 50 years. Let me ask you this question. What do you hope to be doing in 20 billion years from right now? Because the Bible says you're going to be living. What kind of person do you hope to be in 20 billion years? You're setting a trajectory for your eternity today. Earthly wisdom doesn't care about tomorrow. It worries about today. Now, the alternative to that we already read is heavenly wisdom. H-E-A. Okay. And it is focused on the future. Well, nuts. All right, there we go. All right. Now, that's the first one. Here's the second thing he says. What is the second word that defines earthly wisdom there in verse 15? Someone give it to me. Ooh, unspiritual. Okay. U-N-S-P-I-R-I-T-U-A-L. Okay.
Yay.
Spelling bee. All right, unspiritual. Now, here's the thing. When you hear that word, if you're like me, you may kind of, it may be a little mushy in your mind, because today when you talk to people on the street, if you go up and say, are you a spiritual or religious person? They might say to you, yeah, I go to such and such church. Or they say, no, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Someone help me understand what that means exactly. When someone says, no, I'm spiritual, what are they saying? Don't go to church. But it's not that they don't believe there's something, but they can't really define it. Maybe it's, I'm one with the universe. Teresa Mansfield said at the first service. She goes, well, you know, it's the person who's like, woo woo. And I was like, wait, what's woo woo? And she said, well, you know, woo woo. And I was like, no, that saying it again doesn't help me understand what woo woo is. But she said, no, like someone was like, woo, you know, that was what she was trying to explain. And I went, Like Casper the ghost? What? Okay, but here's the idea. Spiritual, in our vernacular culturally, is someone who may not have a defined belief in a god or gods, but senses and wants to feel connected to something bigger than him or herself. The opposite in our culture, therefore, is someone who doesn't see there being anything bigger than him or herself. James is not talking about that when he says spiritual or unspiritual here. Here's what James is talking about. Spiritual, or rather, we'll do it this way. Spiritual up here is that the Holy Spirit is the driving, guiding force for all of my decisions. That as a Christ follower, we don't, I mean, you know, this is a non, or the word spiritual as people define it today, it's a meaningless word. To a Christian, spiritual is that there is one Spirit, and the Holy Spirit of God is the one who literally guides, guards, and directs, my life in what I do. So, here is the idea. An unspiritual person is self guided. That's what it means. Wisdom that is self-guided, meaning I do not look to something beyond myself for what is right, wrong, good. I look to what I think, what I feel, what I've experienced. Can anyone testify that that's what you see in culture today? That it's unspiritual. It is not that I don't believe maybe there's something more out there, but rather I am the ultimate source of wisdom and right and wrong. This is what it means to be unspiritual. And what he's talking about now, the spiritual person, someone who has spiritual wisdom, wisdom that comes from heaven versus that comes from below, is someone who is spirit guided. Now, here's the churchy question. I hope to get 100% correct answer on this. So I'll just kind of, okay. Where might we as Christ followers go first for the Holy Spirit's direction? The what? The Scripture, the Bible. You can mumble something and I'll take that even. It's okay. You got from Jesus, yes. All right, those are two right answers in church, aren't they? Jesus or the Bible. Here's the deal. A spiritual person, someone who has wisdom from above, that's heavenly, that's spiritual, will say, I may feel one way, but this directs me another way, and it wins. Can I just kind of, at the chance of offending or stepping on toes, ask you a question? How could we know what the Spirit wants us to do unless we know what the Spirit has said to do? You know, my wife, she's a great woman. She takes such good care of our family. She frees me up to minister here. And the hours that she lets me, and I mean that sincerely, the hours she lets me be away from the family at odd hours and such, she's an incredible woman. And she covers so many bases for the whole family. She's a good, good partner. On those days, though, that she needs a little extra help, I need to know specifics of what she needs. Guys, you may have good intentions, but unless your wife tells you exactly how it ought to be done, it's better, I've found, to just kind of go, I ain't touching nothing until she says how to do it, where to do it, when to do it, and the smell it should have when it's all done. Or not have. Okay? My wife gives me direction on certain things around the house. In fact, if you come to our house, we've got a honey-do list. Now, it may still say 2017 on it, but I have a honey-do list on the, and it's specific. Here's the thing. Unless she tells me what specifically, how do I know what she wants or what is wise for our relationship? Same here. If you're not in the Word of God, how do you know what God wants of you and what is wise from God? Tucking it under your arm and coming to church, well, that's a good start, but, you know, I don't learn from osmosis. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to know His Word. That's why we're giving you a tool to take about 10 minutes every day and soap. That's through this journal. Soap, Scripture, observation, application, prayer every day to say, okay, my wisdom is always going to fall flat, but your wisdom is perfect. So God, show me what you want. And this is a way of letting it become part of who we are. Does this make sense? I mean, this is obvious, right? Now, here's the deal. We don't just get wisdom from God or spiritual wisdom from this. We get it also from, well, one another. I mean, how many times have you been in a conversation and you needed a particular word from someone and they gave you what you needed to hear for that moment? Not what you may have wanted to hear, but what you needed. I mean, that's happened to me many times. Now, if it's from God, what they say won't contradict this. But the Lord speaks to us through His Word, through one another, and yeah, through experience, but it will always agree. And so He's going to say, earthly wisdom, focus on today. It's self-guided because it's unspiritual. And here's the third one. What do you see the last few words of verse 15 being? Divine. All right, let's talk about this for a minute. Earthly wisdom is earthly, unspiritual. Some of your translations may say the devil, but demonic is a really good sort of broad word here. Quick question. When the devil speaks, is he truthful or is he a liar? In fact, the Bible will say that whenever he speaks his native tongue, which is lies. How does the first interaction with the devil in Scripture work out? Genesis chapter 3, what do you got?
Not well.
What happens? Someone tell me. Yeah. Who did he lie to? Do you remember the story? Lied to Eve. By the way, Adam's there. He's just not talking. So I don't want to throw Eve under the bus, where Adam was the one, as the husband, charged with leading and loving, and he doesn't do jack. Okay, but okay, he lies to Eve. Now, was it a big lie? Like, you know, there is no God? Eve, what do you think? I mean, God, he doesn't exist. What? No.
What? Know what he knows.
Yeah. He just kind of twists it a little bit. Okay, here's what happens. Whenever the devil, whenever demonic wisdom comes, by the way, you can sort of track this back. It's earthly because it's unspiritual. It's unspiritual because it comes from demonic sources. Do you see where this is? This is the source. If you don't like the fruit, look at the root. And the demonic source says this. It always tells lies. It tells lies in some different categories. It will lie to us about the nature and character of our Father in heaven. Start in Garden of Eden. Here's the lie as it played out. Eve, you think God really wants your best? No. He is holding out on you. He doesn't really want you to be satisfied. That's why he's saying don't eat from this tree. That's why he doesn't want your best. He lies about the nature and character of our heavenly good Father. He lies about you as well. This is why so many of us struggle with ongoing guilt, because we think that our sin is greater than the power of Jesus Christ to forgive. Can I say something to you? If you struggle with ongoing guilt and think, oh, God can never forgive, oh, that sounds really humble. Do you realize that's a really arrogant statement? And I'm not trying to be harsh here, but think on it for a moment. You're actually saying that your sin, your whatever, is greater than God's power. Is that a humble statement? Yeah, it's blasphemous. The demonic wisdom will lie about who you are. It'll also lie about what you genuinely need. Well, I need this. We have children. And again, I'm sorry. I talk about my kids all the time. You got to understand. I'm with my kids like 28 out of 24 hours of the day, and Lindsay's with them 50 hours of every 24-hour day. And so all the experience I have is kids right now. Once they're gone, then I'll have other stories, but this is what I got. Here's the deal, though. My kids, they need candy. They need cookies. And here's the thing. They then look at their dad, who says, no, you got to eat something else. And they think, you're holding out on me. If you loved me. No, kids, I love you, and I like you're not being sick to your stomach, so then I don't have to ask your mother to go clean it up. And I mean, then we're happier together, right? Is it? No? Okay. And so he tells lies about who we are, tells lies about God. What about this one? They lie about other people as well. Okay, I'm not a historian on the scale that people like Wayne Russell and others are who really know it better than... But here's something that, as I've done some study, every genocide, and I've tracked back almost 2,000 years, I have yet to find one. I have yet to find one genocide that did not begin with the dehumanization of one group from another group in the way they spoke, the way they thought. Because here's the thing, I can't harm another person if I think they have equal value to me. It is very difficult to rob someone of their life without first robbing them of their humanity. Let me give you a modern day example. And again, I know this is a charged one, but let's just go here. Abortion right now, and again, my numbers are going to be off, but somewhere in the neighborhood of about 8,000 abortions happen every day. I'll go double check the stat, but it's ridiculous. How do we get here? Very simple. Oh, that's not a baby. That's a fetus. By the way, fetus is Latin for baby. But whatever. That's not a baby. That's a fetus. No, no. It's a clump of cells. It's not a human being. Oh, no, no, no. It's a part of the mother. It's not a separate life. That's why we can abort the unborn. Does this make sense? You have to first dehumanize someone to then be able to do bad things to that person. Here's the point. Demonic wisdom says something about you, elevates you over other people. This is why he earlier talks about there should be no partiality in God's church, because true wisdom, heavenly wisdom, you go, my word, I'm looking at an eternal being. I'm looking at an eternal soul that will never die. And I look at Bud and I go, man, Bud, he looks eternal, not old. He is eternal, and he is this. How could I ever abuse someone who has God's eternal spark within him? Not God himself, but he has been given this eternal soul. But demonic wisdom will say, no, no, no. Lies about God, us, and others. Godly wisdom on the very end, and again, you track it back to its source, always tells the truth. Tells the truth about who he is. Tells the truth about who you are. Tells the truth about other people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Love God, love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are the truths of God. And flowing from this wisdom, things change. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to end our last couple minutes together with a question. And I think I've shared this before, and I'll probably share it again, but this is a question that I got. This is nothing I've come up with, but I found it to be very helpful from a guy named Andy Stanley. He wrote a great book on this. He's talked about this. It's just an incredible, I think, statement. I want to get real practical, okay? Here's something that you can hopefully take home with you tonight and do something with tomorrow. The other stuff, that's great. Okay, fine. Yeah. Look at, and by the way, notice the fruit of this one. Talks about selfish ambition. Talks about vain conceit. But up here, it talks about the fruit, peace, sincere, patient. It goes through all those, okay? So you can kind of see the fruit. But here's the deal. When we make decisions, often we ask this question. We ask the question like this. What is the moral thing to do? Or what is the legal thing to do? Or what is the ethical thing to do? Now, quick question. Are those bad ways of asking a question of a right decision? No. I mean, if it's immoral, don't do it. If it's unethical, don't do it. If it's illegal, don't do it, right? But what about this? What if it is not illegal? There are some things that I should not do, even though they're legal. There are some things that I should not do, even though they may be moral according to this culture's standards. There are some things that I can do that are not unethical, but I shouldn't do them. Does this make sense? Sometimes when we make decisions with those, we often come up with some really bad earthly wisdom things. So here's the best question ever, I think. And this is from Andy Stanley, but I think it's great. What is the wise thing to do? And here's what I want to kind of play out based on all this. In three categories, I don't have space to write it, so just kind of think through this with me. Here's the way the question goes like this. Based on my past experiences, my present circumstances, and future hopes, dreams, or goals, what is the wise thing to do? And here's why this is such a good question as you think about this, because this is going to play out using all of this. Here's why. I have friends in this church, and I could give you names, numbers, and all that. Won't do that. But friends in this church, members of our body, who are either recovering or have recovered from some sort of substance issue. One of my friends here, and he's very open about this, or I wouldn't say this here. One of my friends who's a member of our church has gone through almost a year recovery to really help with some alcohol abuse. And I'm so proud of him for doing what he needed to do to get through it. Okay, but here's the deal. And I'm working with a lot of younger guys here in the church who kind of run into this. So, for instance, a buddy comes up and says, hey, some of us guys, we're going to go to, you know, we're going to go watch the game at such and such bar. We're going to eat some wings. Why don't you come join us? Now, real quick, biblically, is there anywhere in Scripture that says it is sinful to drink alcohol? No. It does say don't get drunk, right? Okay. But it's not sinful to drink. So if we were to ask the question, is it immoral to go to a bar? The answer is no. Is it illegal? Well, no, if you're 21 or older, no. Is it unethical? Well, again, no. But now think about this. My friend who has dealt with this in his past, he would then answer the question and say, well, based on my past experiences, as someone who has fallen into the bottle, is it wise for me to go do this? And he would say, absolutely not. I need to stay away from it. Why is it? Because it's illegal, immoral, unethical? No, because it is not wise based on my past. Does this make sense? Now, let's go to another one. Let's talk about our present circumstance. And you can do this with all sorts of things, but present. So you want to get that new car. Yeah.
Right.
New truck. New truck. Or for my wife, a new minivan. Okay, so you go out and you find the one. I mean, it's the one. You know, it's sort of like that mythical, you know, girlfriend or boyfriend. The one. You see it. You find it. You open it. It has all the bells and whistles. It has new car smell. It's leather, everything. In fact, the smell is so strong, you open the door and it like spritzes the new car smell right at you. You get in. It has all the lights, all the things. When you open the door, you sit down and automatically, Pam, this is the perfect vehicle because it'll even go, hello, Pam, where do you want to go today? And you're just like, yeah. So it's a perfect vehicle. You say, well, okay, earthly says, oh, yeah, it's all about today. How would I look rolling up in this nice looking truck, minivan, whatever it may be? How would it make me feel? How would, boy, we could cart not just our kids, but a small African nation worth of people if I got this vehicle, and we could do this, and then you baptize it in Christian language. Oh, and think about the ministry I could perform as I help cart the teens to various activities. And you paint this picture for yourself, right? Okay, now, self-guided. I need this. By the way, if you ever hear someone say, I need, boop, slow down, right? Based on past experience, well, was I addicted to cars? Probably not, so that may not be an issue. But let's talk about present. Do I have the money to actually buy a vehicle today? Or am I now going to leverage my future for a moment today? Does this make sense? Let's go even a little deeper. Tonight, right now, some of our 545 folk, they're at Cracker Barrel. They are doing something either beautiful to their bodies or horrible to their bodies, just whatever, okay? Sunrise Sampler. So you go in and you say, I want to go out to eat. I need me some Cracker Barrel. You know, I think there's bread in there, but I can't tell because of the lard and the butter. But there's something there that's just delicious. I need it. So here's what I'm going to do. Do I have the money to go? No, I got this thing called credit card. I'll just pull out that little piece of plastic. I'll just swipe that little piece of plastic. I won't feel pain at all today. But then I'm going to be paying for that for the next 20 years. That $20 meal. Stretched over X number of years, paying off just the minimum. How many thousands of dollars am I paying for some delicious, admittedly, food right now? So, is it unethical, illegal, immoral? Now, depending on what you do to yourself, what you eat, yeah, it may be unethical and it may be illegal in some states. Who knows? But the point is this. To say unethical, illegal, immoral doesn't work. But to say, based on my current situation, is this the wise thing to do? Does this make sense? Let's talk future. Let me tell you one of the, I love you. I love this church, and I'm so, thanks for putting up with me. I really mean that. Thank you. It's always awkward to consider the fact that so many of you saw me grow up here, and I can't let my mind kind of roll back to that, because it just kind of, I'll curl up in a ball and start, you know, shaking back and forth. But here's the thing. As much as I love you and want good for this body, you're not my first church. You know that, right? My first church has four people in it, including myself. And men, by the way, if you have a family, you are the shepherd of your church. You're the little pastor of that church. You're responsible for their hearts and their minds. Let me tell you about my future, what I pray for. As much as I want to retire with this sweet, good-looking girl, and her hair may be white, and I'll have no hair, and it'll just be awesome. And I mean, as much as I look forward to that, here's the deal. More importantly than that future is the one that stretches on for eternity. I've got two little people who have eternal souls placed by Almighty God. You talk about a weighty responsibility. And you guys know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Based on my future hope, not that they will grow up and be good little Americans. That is such a shallow, low-level goal. If that's your goal, come on, let's raise up the bar here. Having good people who behave well, who don't get arrested, can we at least have a goal that's a little bit bigger than that? My goal is that my son and my daughter would step into eternity grasping the hand of Jesus and carrying the hands of their children and their spouse with them. That is my goal. And so here's the deal. As much as I love you, and I hope you know I do my best to pour out to this church because I love this church. There are some things that this Friday we're going to be here setting up some stuff for the Ladies' Day, but most Fridays I take that day off. You say, well, why? I say, because Sunday's a work day, often Saturday's a work day. I get maybe one and a half days a week that I'm able to just kind of unplug. I take Fridays off. I'll turn off my phone. I won't get some of your calls on Friday because I want to invest in my children today. You say, well, wait a minute. But what about this person? What about that person? I love them, but my kids are my number one responsibility before God. And based on what my goal is, that they would know Jesus, how then do I act differently today? Here's the other thing. There's some things I'd like to do with my time. There are hobbies that I enjoy that I have no time to even get remotely close to because of this. Because, based on my future goal. Because in 20 billion years, I want to be surrounded, not just close to God. I want to see my sweet wife. I want to be with my son, Stephen. I want to be with my daughter, Emma. I want to be with their spouses on earth. Again, that whole theology, my brain blows up. I want to be with their kids, grandkids. I want to be with the generations to follow. And so today I'm making certain decisions, not because it's illegal, unethical, immoral, but because it is the wise thing based on eternity. That is wisdom that comes from above. So here's the question as we kind of leave. As you kind of look at the fruit, what's growing in your life, where's your wisdom coming from? Does that make sense? Where's it coming from? And what tomorrow, when you face it, do you need to shift so that the wisdom that you are tapping into is from above? Let's pray together.